Hello. Happy Sunday, everyone. Does the show have a great name, Valentine? I'm watching what Christian has written. Thank you, Miss Valentine. Looks very nice in writing. Hi again. Happy Sunday. Right now we are here for Holy Spirit Guides. And as I think you all know, this is the time that is dedicated to going over the personal messages that have been given to me, which are all stored on reginadonacres.com. Oh, I just lied to you, because they're actually not all stored there. And in fact, the message that's next in my booklet that I have printed messages at home wasn't online. So I just went and quickly added it online, and I'm going to give you a link. But for the most part, we're going over the messages that are on reginadonacres.com. And right now, we're in the phase where the messages were really given both to Laurent and me. This is the phase of our relationship. And tonight, we're going to look at a message from October 14th, 2007. Again, this is not posted on the blog. Here is a link to the message that I just created for you all. The name of the message is Zero Code is Zero Code. Cliff says, oh my God, Regina lied. I do that from time to time, but it's usually an accident. It's like my mind is kind of talking, and then I realize, oh wait, that's not wholly true. And then I have to say, oh wait, I lied, and go back and make it wholly true. So, most of the personal messages are on reginadonacres.com, but not tonight. You want to say hi, Jasmine?
No, I wanted to see who was on.
Oh, well, there you go. There's the list of people. So, what I want to do, I know you guys know this because I'm pretty predictable, is I want to say a prayer. People are saying hi, Jazz.
Hi!
I want to say a prayer, and then we'll go and look at this message. Oh, God, Cliff has such a memory. Cliff, I know exactly what you're talking about. He says, are there any holy pictures on the wall, Jasmine? Oh. Yeah, he's remembering when Jasmine got upset because we were decorating the house down here. And Danielle and I love holy pictures. And we were buying lots and lots of holy pictures. And at one point, we hung like one too many holy pictures. And Jasmine was like, that's it. Cliff is remembering that.
And Thank you.
Yeah, that picture, it was actually Ramana Maharshi, which I hung in an area that Jasmine just thought that was too much. So I've moved Ramana to another area. He is still up, but she seems to be okay with where he is because he's right next to my desk. And the other area, which she considered a family area, now we have a tribute to Kansas hanging there.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a rather nice tribute to Kansas. I secretly say it's a tribute to Holy Spirit. Because, Jasmine says, Mom, doing this doesn't make it secret. I can still hear you. But it's a nice round picture of a windmill and wheat. And you all know that wheat is the symbol on NTI. And the wind is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit has something to do with the word wind. So, but it doesn't look quite so religious. So Jasmine accepts it. Yeah, she says it's cool. All right. So, let's go into prayer now that we've told that story. Holy Spirit, I am grateful once again to have this special time set aside for the purpose of listening to you. We will use a message to prompt us, a message that was given by you. And then between the lines, we are willing to hear more clarity, more depth, more insight. Spirit, none of us know what to expect now. We don't know the words of this message or what it will say. So we come to you completely open without any expectations at all. And we say, please enlighten us. Help us to see whatever is most helpful to us, that we may awaken to ourself. Amen. All right, I'll give the link to the message again. There we go. And the name of the message, as I said, is Zero Code is Zero Code. So maybe I have to tell you a story first. If you hear this noise, I am drinking a strawberry limeade from Sonic. Okay. I know that you all, or at least most of you all, are familiar with the message, the code. Fantastic message. Well, shortly after the message came, Bill Free came to visit Laurent and me for the very first time. And one night, while we were having one of Laurent's midnight dinners, I think we were having steak, and it was right about midnight when dinner got on the table. So we were sitting around eating dinner and talking, and we were talking about the code, and, you know, we began to compare it to the symbol of, you know, of computer programming, the binary numbers 1 and 0. And, you know, just among ourselves, just among Laurent and Bill and I, we decided that the 1 represented Holy Spirit, oneness, right? And that the 0 represented ego, nothing. And so just among us, we were began to, you know, in the conversation, kind of goofing off, but always, you know, watching our minds at the same time, as we would share thoughts and as we would talk, we would say, oh, that's a 1, you know, that's a Holy Spirit thought, or oh, that's a 0, that's zero code. And we got very used to this term, zero code. So it's a term that we kind of made up at dinner. But then in this message that came on October 14th, Holy Spirit used the term. So when you hear the term zero code really means the thoughts that come from ego. Zero. Nothing. All right? Teddy's in the room, along with someone else, so here's the link one more time. And let's go into the message. It's Holy Spirit speaking. Zero code is zero code. There is nothing other to learn. There is only this. I give you many ways to see this fact, and I will continue to be helpful in this way. I shall not leave you comfortless ever. I shall always be in your mind, guiding and comforting you for as long as you desire the thought of me. For I am the manifestation of your desire to know thyself. But I have nothing to teach you that you do not already know. There is nothing I can give that you do not already have. The simple way is the way of realizing that all ideas are in the mind. The easiest way is the way of realizing that all experiences come from you, which also includes the experience of me. And the best way is to remember truly what you want. Then choose all of your ideas from the place of this knowing. When an idea comes into the mind as a thought or into experience as a feeling or manifestation of an idea, look carefully at what you are believing. Remember that all things are ideas. No two things can be different. There is never an exception to the cause. Then ask yourself, does this idea support my purpose of awakening to myself as I truly am? As you ask this question, remember that you are designing your own experience. Remember again the experience you want. The experience of knowing yourself as you are. And make all decisions from the place of that remembrance. It is true that you accept zero code without realizing that you are believing the false as true. You have forgotten yourself, and you see ideas of illusion through this veil of forgetfulness. This would be an experience that would forever keep you lost within the experience of not knowing yourself, if it were not for one fact. And that fact is me. That fact is the part of your mind that has never chosen to forget itself. It is the remembrance of that part of your mind. That is what I am. I am the remembrance of God, because I am a flash of manifestation from the purity of your realization that is God. I am the voice of your inability to forget that which is always true. I am your remembrance of you. As that part of you, I am always with you. I cannot leave you, and I cannot be lost. I am but an idea. But I am an idea that comes from truth. When I speak of only what is true. In this way, I shall always be helpful to you. As you awaken to the remembrance of the truth of what you are, lean on me as your guide. Ask anything of me, and I shall step forward to help. I will answer your questions and guide your actions. I will give to you everything that you surrender to me. My purpose is pure, as it can only be one. When you give all to me, you give all in purity to the awakening of yourself. There are distractions in your environment now, but do not slip into believing you are a victim of these. Those sights and sounds and feelings that call your attention from me are only manifestations of the thought that you are what you are not. Remember that you are what you are, and keep your mind with me. At this point, I had a question, and the question was, I was totally distracted by events in the outside environment, and now I am feeling guilty for reacting to these events. What will you share with me? And what I remember now as I read the question is that when Spirit says there are distractions in your environment now, he was not talking generally, he was talking specifically. There was something that happened in my presence as I was writing with Spirit. And I could feel myself wanting to be pulled away from listening to Spirit to reacting to that outside distraction. So he's saying there are distractions in your environment now, but do not slip into believing you are a victim of those. I thought they could pull me away from listening, this noise that was in my environment. So again, the question. I was totally distracted by events in the outside environment, and now I am feeling guilty for reacting to those events. I actually think it was Jasmine and her friends that came into the room, and I think I snapped at them to get out so that I could go back to listening to Spirit. She just stuck her tongue out at me. Okay. So again, I was totally distracted by events in the outside environment, and now I am feeling guilty for reacting to these events. What will you share with me? Holy Spirit. Guilt is zero code. Guilt is the offspring of judgment, which is choosing to see yourself as wrong for choosing to be the experience you choose to be. You can never be wrong for choosing an experience. You can never be wrong for anything you choose to be. But each experience brings with it the expression of ideas, And it is these ideas that I ask you to look at with me. As I began, zero code is zero code. The fact that you choose to believe it does not make it true. This is your release and your freedom. By choosing to see again, you choose to choose now what you did not remember to choose before. I have given you many tools, and I will continue for as long as you choose to not quite know who you are. But in the moment that you choose to know, all will be given for review, and in what may only seem to be a flash, you will choose to know only the truth as true. In that moment of total decision, you shall awaken. One cannot sleep when the non-true no longer has influence over you. The greatest error that you make in the purpose of awakening to yourself is the error of judging you for the experiences you choose. And remember, to judge another is to judge yourself. When you judge, you teach yourself that you are wrong. This is to separate yourself from some idea and to say that you are not it. In this decision, you choose not to know thyself. The way to remembrance is the way of acceptance without judgment, experience without pain, and pain experienced through the quiet restfulness of non-judgment. Let all things flow through you like wind through the leaves of a tree. Nothing can change what you are. Judgment is merely the chosen denial of truth. As you practice non-judgment in all circumstances, in the face of all experience, you will notice many effects. Let each one ride over you. Remain focused on the idea of the code. Recall that all things are light. Remember your desire to know only you. Be patient, and in trust, call on me. Make this your only reaction to all things false, and you practice the practice of awakening in all things that you experience. So there's the message in full. And of course, as we always do, we will go back and look at it little by little. For me, the message is incredibly powerful and incredibly clear. And the clearest point, before we look at the details, the clearest point is the very first sentence of the message. Zero code is zero code. And in fact, the second sentence says, there is nothing other to learn. So it's funny because when we're on the spiritual path, we seem to learn a lot of things. But all of those things are really helping us to learn one thing. They're helping us to learn that the false is false. The false is false. And when we completely let go of the false, when we learn that lesson, then the remembrance of truth is given. So we are really here on this spiritual path with whatever practices and whatever teachings we have to learn one thing. That which isn't true isn't true. But obviously, we're challenged in learning this lesson. And so what Holy Spirit does, or what we call Holy Spirit, it's really the voice for God, the voice for ourself. What it does is it reminds us in a myriad of ways of what we need to be reminded of until we embrace it fully. And in fact, let's listen to this first paragraph again. It starts off, zero code is zero code. There is nothing other to learn. There is only this. I give you many ways to see this fact, and I will continue to be helpful in this way. I shall not leave you comfortless ever. I shall always be in your mind, guiding and comforting you for as long as you desire the thought of me. For I am the manifestation of your desire to know thyself. I am the manifestation of your desire to know thyself. Now this voice that is speaking through me is speaking using words. Words are not reality. And so that's why this voice calls itself a manifestation. It's a manifestation. It speaks for reality, but it is not reality. It is a part of the illusion. And one thing I knew intellectually, and I came to realize much more clearly just in the last few weeks, is one of the steps of awakening eventually is letting go of this guide, this inner guide. Until we let go of this inner guide, there's still a separation there. We cannot fully be ourselves as long as there's any kind of a mediary. However, we won't let go of that guide before it's time. As long as we need a guide, an inner guide, or what appears to be an outer guide, a teacher, or a book, like A Course in Miracles or NTI, these things are provided. So this is what Holy Spirit means in this sentence. I am the manifestation of your desire to know thyself. And in fact, this even tells us why the guide appears. Whether the guide appears as an inner guide, whether the guide appears as A Course in Miracles, you know, like my friend Pamela Silberman, the way she found A Course in Miracles, she was in an old used bookstore and it literally fell onto her head. You know, it hit her in the head and then fell to the floor. So whether it appears as an inner voice, whether it appears as a book hitting you on the head, whether it appears as a teacher that really speaks to you, the reason the guide is appearing is because of your desire to know truth. You might not even know then to say, know thyself, depending on where you are on the spiritual path, but something in you has begun to yearn for truth, for something else, for something more, for something real, for something meaningful, right? It starts in a lot of different ways. And it's that yearning, that desire, that then calls forth the guide. In whatever form the guide is. And of course, the guide can actually shift forms, right? It can be a book, and then it can be a teacher, and then it can be an inner guide. So Holy Spirit says, I am the manifestation of your desire to know thyself. But I have nothing to teach you that you do not already know. There is nothing I can give you that you do not already know. Have. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of what the wizard said to Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Lion. Isn't that what he said to them, right? When the Scarecrow wanted brains, yet he was actually the smart one in the group, remember? The Tin Man wanted a heart, but he was the most compassionate and caring one. And the Lion wanted courage. Yet he was the brave one, right? That took the lead when someone needed to take the lead. And so the wizard told them that he had nothing to give them that they did not already have. And yet he gave them tools, since they weren't aware of what they had. Do you remember? Although the Scarecrow was very smart, what he didn't have was a degree telling him he was smart. So he gave him that tool. He gave them a degree. Remember, a doctorate degree. And he gave the Tin Man a heart on a chain. And he, what was it he gave the Lion? Does anybody remember? For a symbol of courage?
No.
I don't remember. We've all forgotten. If any of you guys remember, please type it in. A medal. Oh, you gave him a medal.
Yes,
yeah. So spirit does the same thing. Spirit, like the wizard says, there's nothing that I can give you that you don't already have. But I can give you these symbols of what you already have until you awaken to what you have and are. And these symbols come through as like this written message, A Course in Miracles, NTI, teachers. You know, and we read these things or we listen to these things and we think we're acquiring something. But actually, we already have it. We already have it. And all we're doing is triggering our practice in order to prepare ourselves for the memory. And spirit, our manifestation to remember what we are, to realize what we already have through our beingness, spirit, in one form or another, will stay with us until that awakening is complete. We do not need to worry that spirit is going to abandon us or leave us. It's just not going to happen. Now, in the second paragraph, spirit talks about some ways to awaken, some practices. Hold on, I'm going to get a noisy drink. But very good. All right. The first way is called the simple way. The simple way, this is a practice, right? The simple way is the way of realizing that all ideas are in the mind. Okay, so what spirit is really telling us is that if we can remember that all ideas are in the mind, awakening will become simple. So what does that mean? Well, let's go back to the day that I was writing this message. What happened, you know, in a few minutes when Jasmine and her friends came, you know, charging into the room where I was writing and starting to speak to me, you know. And I'm engrossed in spirit, and they begin to speak to me, and I start feeling like I'm losing the connection. I'm being pulled away from spirit, and I snap at them. And then I feel guilty. All right, using the simple way. All ideas are in the mind. Instead of I am being interrupted as some kind of a fact, some kind of an inherent truth, I am being interrupted is just an idea in the mind. If I remember that, if I follow the simple way, there's never even going to be a reaction. I'm never even going to snap at Jasmine and her friends. I will see the thought, I'm being interrupted. I remember, this is just a thought. I remember, this is zero code, this is not true. I put it aside, and if necessary, I calmly look up, and I say, Jasmine, I need a few more minutes, and then I'll be with you. And I return quickly to the writing without any loss of connection. The reason there's a different story is because of the simple way, the remembering that the interruption is not a fact. The interruption is not something that is happening in my environment that I do not have control over. The interruption is a thought in the mind. Now, I have used the simple way extensively. And so now, as a result of using the simple way, I can tell you that my reaction is consistently different. If somebody should want to speak to me or say something to me when I'm in my time of meditation, I just look up. I don't see it as an interruption. I don't have to ignore it if somebody wants my attention, but I peacefully look up. And if it's one sentence they need to communicate to me, they communicate their sentence, and then I go right back into my meditation. If it's even something that needs to call me away, I can get up and leave my meditation without any feeling of loss or sacrifice. I stay in the peace. The idea that I'm being interrupted is only an idea in the mind. It has no truth to it whatsoever. That's the simple way. So the simple way is the way of realizing that all ideas are in the mind. When you get this, and I mean really get this, no one and no thing can have an effect on your peace. Because the truth is, no one and no thing had an effect on your peace in the first place. The only thing that was affecting your peace were the ideas in your mind that you were not recognizing as ideas in your mind. Once you begin to recognize their ideas in the mind, and you choose to see them differently, you choose to see zero code as zero code, which means it's nothing, then you're at peace. The simple way. Holy Spirit gives us another tool, which he calls the easiest way. Some of you may like this one. The easiest way is the way of realizing that all experiences come from you. I think this is kind of a primary way for you, Donna, isn't it? Don't you use the easiest way?
Yeah.
Yeah, Donna uses the easiest way much more than I do. I think I'm more of a simple way kind of person. But Donna uses the easiest way. Donna, I don't know, do you want to talk about it, Donna, since you use it more than I do?
Just
come over here. Okay, sure. It says, the easiest way is the way of realizing that all experiences come from you. Give me here for a second. She doesn't talk on the mic much, but I'm going to force her. Here, just talk a little bit. Tell a little story, like maybe a day at work when you were upset with your computer not working. Do you remember that story you told me that day? If you don't, it's okay.
Yeah, well, no, it's just basically that, you know, when you notice that you're upset, is to look at this and say, you know, is this coming from outside of me? And just taking responsibility. And it's kind of just like oh, wow, you know, I created this.
Yes.
And it's just actually a happy feeling, and it allows me to lose that that anxiety or that wanting to blame it on somebody else. And then, I don't know, I usually get a prompt of how to take care of it. And in that situation, I just called somebody up and said, come fix my computer.
But the frustration was gone by remembering you created it.
Yes, I created it. And usually when I realize I created it, it's a laughter.
Yeah.
It's a laughter that comes from my heart.
Yeah, and I don't use that way, which is interesting. I really do, I guess, use the simple way. But she uses the easiest way. All right? So the easiest way is the way of realizing that all experiences come from you. And some of you may find that this is really going to be easier for you than the path that I have chosen, than the path that I have selected. And what's interesting about this particular sentence is that Spirit says, the easiest way is the way of realizing that all experiences come from you, which also includes the experience of me. The reason Spirit says that is that a lot of people feel they cannot hear Spirit. And the primary reason, of course, that they feel they cannot hear Spirit is because they see Spirit as some other. Some other. Well, if you can remember that even your experience of Spirit comes from yourself, Spirit says you will actually be able to hear and recognize Spirit more. It's not from your little s self, of course, but it is from yourself. It is your self talking to you, your heart, your wisdom, your knowing. But it's absolutely nothing outside of you, and it's absolutely impossible that you couldn't have access to it. How could you not have access to yourself, to your voice? So Spirit recommends part of the easiest way is remembering that even the manifestation of Spirit, that also includes the manifestation of your teacher, the manifestation of your course, these all came from you. They are yours. When you're reading what appears to be Jesus' words on the page of A Course in Miracles, you're literally reading your voice, speaking to you through the pages of a book. And it really is very helpful to realize that, because the more you realize that, the more you close that gap of separateness. And eventually you will really begin to feel that that is your voice. I read books all the time, but I never read a book anymore, a book, The Speaking Truth, that I don't feel is just my voice speaking to me from the pages of a book. I don't feel that it's a separate voice that I need to learn from. Yeah, okay, here comes Donna again. Hey, we got her on the mic. Now she's addicted. Go ahead.
No, actually, I wanted to share, I was journaling with Holy Spirit earlier, and we were looking at resentment. So I was journaling out all of the thoughts in my mind, and I saw a theme of resentment, and this was Holy Spirit's guidance was, our resentment is resistance to what is, and you should act as if you chose everything that is, for in truth you did. Accept all as it is, and you won't experience resentment. So
that's exactly it, the easiest way in different words.
Yeah, and the important thing is when I first started doing that, looking at everything as if I had chosen it, a lot of judgments used to come up. And one of the things I wrote after I got that message was, wow, I didn't feel any self-judgment, yay.
Very good. So the easiest way is getting easier for Donna. Okay, so we have the simple way, the easiest way, and now for those of you who have been waiting for the best, we have the best way, which I actually also use. I use both the best way and the simple way. I just don't use the easiest way. So the best way, are you ready for this? And the best way is to remember truly what you want, then choose all of your ideas from the place of this knowing. And I definitely use this. In fact, I think Donna uses this
Absolutely.
One too. Yeah, so I use the simple way and the best way. Donna uses the easiest way and the best way.
Yes.
Right? That's what we do. Yeah. So the best way I find to be extremely helpful. If an idea comes into my mind, like using the example of Jasmine and her friends coming into the room, if an idea comes into my mind that this is an interruption and I want them to go away, and let's assume that they're not, I want them to go away. If the simple way doesn't kick into my mind in that moment to help me see that these are just ideas in my mind, then what will kick in is the best way. And the best way is something like this. What do you want? Do you want Jasmine and her friends to go away, or do you want to awaken? And there's something about comparing the two options in the moment, one of which being whatever appears to be the current desire in the world, and the other being my desire to awaken. It immediately brings me back very, very quickly. Maybe that's why it's called the best way. I call it my true north. In an instant, I can decide it's okay if Jasmine and her friends stay here. It's okay if I don't even get to finish writing this message. I want to awaken even more. It brings me right back. You know, Laurent has a great story that he tells about a time when he was flying from Paris, returning to the United States to be with me. And in fact, we were going to teach at a conference together. I don't remember if it was the time that we were going to Camp for Miracles or if we were going to Pathways of Light. But we were going to teach together. And so he was getting ready to fly back from Paris, and there was a delay in Paris. I think there might have been an airline strike or something, some kind of a delay in Paris. And he began to get very upset that he was going to not make it back, or even if he did get on the plane, he would miss his connection, and he wouldn't make it back in time to go and teach with me. Then he noticed that he was getting very upset. Hey, Bill, I already talked about you. You missed it. You'll have to listen to the recording. Anyway, he started noticing that he was getting very upset. And then he practiced the best way. He said, wait a minute. What do I want? Do I want to go to the States and speak at a conference with Regina? Or do I want to awaken? And in that moment, that brought him back to True North. And he was able to wait in peace because he realized what he wanted most was to awaken. But then eventually he did get on the plane, and it's funny because, you know, the ego likes to come back. So he gets on the plane, and if you know Laurent, Laurent's pretty tall. And especially for an over-the-ocean flight, Laurent prefers to be in first class, but if he can't be in first class, definitely that exit row, right? He wants some leg room for that long flight. Well, he did not get a exit row or first class. He had very little leg room. He might even have been in the middle, but I don't remember for sure. But he felt very cramped. And as he was noticing how cramped he was and thinking about how long the flight was and how cramped he was going to be for so many hours, he began to get very agitated again. And then he remembered to practice the best way. And he asked himself, what do I want? Leg room or to awaken? And he was able to bring himself back. So you see, that's a perfect demonstration of how the best way works. And at least for me, it works very easily. In fact, I'm not sure why it's not called the easiest way. It works very, very easy. So, three ways that Holy Spirit has given us. And as I said, I practice two of them. Donna practices two of them. So you don't necessarily need to practice all three. Probably whatever you were called to, whatever is actually easiest or more natural to you. The only thing that matters is that you are as consistent as possible with the practice. The simple way is the way of realizing that all ideas are in the mind. The easiest way is the way of realizing that all experiences come from you, which also includes the experience of me. And the best way is to remember truly what you want, then choose all of your ideas from the place of this knowing. When an idea comes into the mind as a thought, or into experience as a feeling or manifestation of an idea, look carefully at what you are believing. Remember that all things are ideas. No two things can be different, which means you don't have an idea and then here comes another situation. Now that's real, right? It may seem like a bigger or a worse situation to you. It's still an idea, okay? Remember that all things are ideas. No two things can be different. There is never an exception to the cause. The cause is the mind. Then ask yourself, does this idea support my purpose of awakening to myself as I truly am? You know? And actually, you kind of do that automatically when you're practicing the simple way, the easiest way, or the best way. They bring that question to you in a way that you don't even have to verbalize the question. It's causing you to look at the current moment and the current experience with the memory of your purpose. And when you look at the current idea, the current experience with the memory of your purpose, you're then able to look at it very quickly and see if it supports your purpose or if it distracts from your purpose. And then if you want to, you can just put aside any thoughts, any ideas, anything that is untrue as untrue, and you return to center, you return to a state of openness, you return to a state of being prepared for guidance. What am I to do right now? And that's why, like I said, if I am meditating now and someone comes into the room and wants to speak to me, instead of just reacting from ego like I'm being disturbed, I'm able to just look up, you know, because that's my guidance. I've never had the guidance to ignore a person that wanted to speak to me. Maybe someday I would, but it hasn't happened yet. I just look up and I say, yep, what do you need? And they tell me. And then, you know, that leads to whatever comes next. But I'm able to just be clear and just know exactly what I am to do, without any loss of purpose, without any feeling of sacrifice, without any upset, without any resistance. Yes, thank you. Holy Spirit says, as you ask this question, remember that you are designing your own experience. Does this idea support my purpose of awakening to myself as I truly am? That's the question. Does this idea support my purpose of awakening to myself as I truly am? As you ask this question, remember that you are, he's talking presently, designing your own experience. So if Jasmine comes into the room with her friends and is making some noise and wants my attention while I'm in the middle of writing with Spirit, and I look at this and I somehow think that what I need to do is get rid of them, right? I need to get them out of the room, and I'm feeling a lot of frustration and a lot of upset and a lot of need to control. I'm creating that experience. That's what Spirit wants me to realize. This is the code. Through the choices I'm making in the mind, I am creating every bit of upset I'm feeling. None of it's coming from Jasmine and her friends. Every bit of it is coming from the choices I'm making in my mind. From my choice to believe this is an interruption. From my choice to believe I've been somehow separated from spirit. I'm now going to not get what I need. This is a sacrifice. This should not be this way. This is what is causing my pain, not their presence in the room. So Spirit says, again, remember that you are designing your own experience right now, right this second. Remember again the experience you want. He takes us back to the best way. The experience of knowing yourself as you are. And make all decisions from that place of remembrance. So what I might do is I might go into the best way, remember what I want, and then I might go into the simple way. Remember that these are just ideas in my mind that are causing my upset, and lay them aside. Donna might go to the best way, remember what she wants, and then go into the easiest way, remembering that she created this, and then she'll be able to accept it as it is, right? So that's how we kind of use the best way, and the simple way, or the best way, and the easiest way. They kind of work together to bring us back to clarity, bring us back to purpose, and bring us back to recognizing what is true, what is false, what is meaningful, what is not meaningful. Okay, the next paragraph. It is true that you accept zero code. Remember, zero code means false ideas. It is true that you accept zero code without realizing that you are believing the false is true. And obviously, we all do this all of the time. All of the time. We're awakening more and more and more to the false ideas that we believe. And as we awaken to a particular false idea and choose to really put that aside, or another set of language might be, or we allow ourselves to truly be healed from it, that particular false idea will no longer have power over us. And again, some of the false ideas that that no longer have power over me are like ideas of betrayal, right? Ideas of rejection, ideas of being used by another person, right? These ideas no longer have power over me. However, I continue to see false ideas. So my experience has been that Spirit is the one that shines the light on ideas. Thankfully, we started with the ideas that were causing me the most pain, so I was able to see those false ideas as false and get rid of them first. Now I'm in more of a peaceful way of continuing to realize the false ideas, because the ones that I seem to come up with now aren't creating as much pain for me. They're less painful, which means they're also more subtle, and sometimes they're harder to see, but Spirit has a way of shining a light, and you go, yeah, I see that. And this process is just continuing. But until we see a particular false idea with clarity, with spirit, with light, until we see a particular false idea, we are just believing it and not even noticing it. We're accepting it as some kind of truth, and we don't even notice. We're like blind to it. So that's why Spirit says, it is true that you accept zero code without realizing that you are believing the false as true. We do that. You have forgotten yourself, and you see ideas of illusion through this veil of forgetfulness. So especially when we're thinking of ourselves as a person, as a body, right, then we're really more likely to believe false ideas in those moments. Now listen to this. This would be an experience that would forever keep you lost within the experience of not knowing yourself, if it were not for one fact. And that fact is me. That fact is the part of your mind that has never chosen to forget itself. I don't know what that does for you guys, but that melts my heart every time I read that. To know that there is literally a part of my mind that has never chosen, never for an instant, it has never chosen to forget itself, or never chosen to forget what I am. That's always there, always within, always ready to guide, always ready to help, always ready to awaken. Talk about a lifeline. And it's a lifeline we cannot be separated from. We cannot be separated from. It's always there. Spirit says, that fact is me. That fact is the part of your mind that has never chosen to forget itself. It is the remembrance of that part of your mind. That is what I am. I am the remembrance of God because I am a flash of manifestation from the purity of your realization that is God. So that's another interesting statement, that the purity of our realization is still within us. And whenever we experience spirit, whether it's through an inner voice, like how this message was written, or whether it's through recognizing something in the words on a page, or recognizing something through the words that a teacher speaks, it doesn't matter the form. Whenever there's this realization, this noticing, that recognizing, that is a flash of manifestation from the purity of our realization that is God, that's already in us. We aren't learning anything. We aren't learning anything. Our inner self is going, yes. Because it knows. It's like more like an inner confirmation. Yes. Spirit says, I am the voice. Now, I love this sentence too. I am the voice of your inability to forget that which is always true. Our inability to forget. We can never lose that part of our mind. It's always there. We only have to turn to it. We only have to want to give our attention to it. Spirit says, I am your remembrance of you. As that part of you, I am always with you. I cannot leave you, and I cannot be lost. I am but an idea. And why does Spirit say that? I am but an idea. Because again, we're looking at manifestation. We're looking at words, right? So it's still an idea. It's still not wholly truth, as much as it comes from truth and points back to truth. I am but an idea, but I am an idea that comes from truth. When I speak of only what is true. In this way, I shall always be helpful to you. As you awaken to the remembrance of the truth of what you are, lean on me as your guide. Ask anything of me, and I shall step forward to help. I will answer your questions and guide your actions. I will give to you everything that you surrender to me. My purpose is pure, as it can only be one. When you give all to me, you give all in purity to the awakening of yourself. So again, spirit, which is really the part of our mind that remembers truth and therefore can guide us back to that full realization, speaking from what we truly want, saying, give me your full attention. Give me your full attention. And when we give spirit our full attention, we are only giving our heart our full attention, our highest desire, our full attention, right? Some people still have an idea that surrendering to spirit is a sacrifice. But whenever we have that idea, it's because we have not yet realized that spirit speaks for the truth of what we are. Spirit speaks for the absolute depth of what we want. Spirit can only give us more than the little s self will. It can only give us more. It may appear to give differently, but the experience is going to have so much depth, so much beyond wordness, right? So much beyond wordness that we cannot doubt that we are listening to our true self now. Now here come Jasmine and her friends into the room. I get distracted. Tell them in whatever way I did to leave, you know, with a snap, with, a little attack in the mind so that I can return to spirit. And spirit says, there are distractions in your environment now, but do not slip into believing you are victim of these. I am not victim of these. I can use the simple way, right? I can use the best way. And I can be at total peace, and I know this now because it is my experience now. I can be at total peace, address whatever needs to be addressed, and return right back to spirit without missing a beat. So I am not victim. to what's going on in my environment. I'm only victim to allowing myself to believe false thoughts, and that's not really a victim at all. That's just a decision I need to make differently. I need to decide to start practicing one, two, or all three of these ways so that I can awaken and stop believing false ideas, stop believing zero code as true. That's really the only thing that's wrong, is that I'm believing false thoughts as true. You know, the Bible talks about Satan, right? Which really Satan, as we know, is just a characterization of the ego. The Bible talks about Satan as being deceptive, as telling lies, right? Well, believing that the false is true is allowing myself to be deceived. It's choosing to be deceived. If I want to believe that someone or something outside of me can cause me to have certain feelings, I am choosing to be deceived. Therefore, I'm not a victim because I chose it. Do you see? I may feel like a victim to that, but yeah, it's on purpose. Baby Cheese is saying, I may feel like a victim to that, but the truth is I am choosing to be deceived. And you cannot choose to be deceived and be a victim also. There are distractions in your environment now, but do not slip into believing you are a victim of these. Those sights and sounds and feelings that call your attention from me are only manifestations of the thought that you are what you are not. Again, the belief I was victim. The belief that I could be disturbed, that I could be interrupted, that I could be separated from Spirit. Spirit says, remember that you are what you are and keep your mind with me. Now this brings us back to the question, which kind of creates almost another mini message within the message. But we only have 4 minutes left. So what I'm going to do is just stop here, and then next Sunday we'll start by looking at the question. How does that sound? We have 4 minutes. There's a wonderful CD I'd love to play, but it's all the way upstairs. So I think I'm just going to have to skip that and play something else. And I'll try and remember the one I want to play. I'll try to bring it down here so it's sitting here next to me. And you know what? I'm just going to go to the standard. For those of you who know me well, you probably are already beginning to figure out you're about to hear some music from Israel. And that's because it's always here in my CD player, so it's very easy. Yeah, you guys want Hallelujah? I was about to ask you which one you wanted. Okay, so let's go to Hallelujah then. That's song number two. Let's see how the volume is. All right, guys, here's the song you want. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, sounds of love. sea gloria. Alleluia.
Okay, I'm turning it down because I'm out of time, so we'll stop there. And Hebrew Man's another good one, but we don't have time for that now. So I'll turn off my favorite CD and let go of the mic. I'll see you guys on Wednesday from Larry's house. Bye.